Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fire up for pro football.
That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
This is Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad.
Wouldn't kill you. We play some competitive sports once in a while, wouldn't it?
Oh, would that make you love me?
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour two of two here on Football Sunday. If you're just joining us because you thought we were on 9 to 11, joke's on you. We've been here for an hour already. You can listen back on the Less Show of Tires podcast after the show if you'd like. But you'll probably be watching the NFL anyway. If you got fantasy football questions, text them in, 503-250-1080. We'll get to them at 9:30. Hate it or love it coming up in the next segment. But to begin this hour, it's time to have a eulogy for one Joe Fisher's favorite quarterback and favorite team.
Okay.
Dak Prescott.
My God.
Passed away.
Whoa.
just kidding. Dak Prescott's leg passed away last weekend. It tried to bend the wrong way and leave his body. It failed. They put an air cast around it. But Dak Prescott out for the rest of the season. Andy Dalton in. Hey, Joe, at least you have the best backup quarterback in the NFL. I'm being serious.
Yeah, well,
it's better than, like, I don't know, Sage Rosenfels coming in. Is he still in the league?
Yeah, the goal is not to use the backup quarterback, though. So, I mean, just.
Well, right, but having a good backup quarterback is better than not.
I'm done. I'm
Are you done?
I'm wrapped up with this season, yeah.
Because, Joe, the NFC East is a dumpster fire, and you can still win it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm stoked. If you can't hear it in my voice, I'm just absolutely elated right now.
Maybe Andy Dalton's going to be great.
You know,
where's
honestly,
your positivity,
you
Joe?
Know, honestly, I wanted to call Joe so bad last week,
but you didn't. That's probably good. You don't want to pile on.
No, I wasn't going to pile on just because, man. Listen, the one thing I don't ever want to do, I don't ever want to see anybody get hurt. Like, that sucks. I hate to see, you know, when athletes or, you know, especially when this is your livelihood. We don't know if Dak Prescott will ever come back and be the same quarterback. You know, when you have an injury like that, you know, you have to get it out of your head first. You know, you look at somebody like Derrick Rose who busted up his knee and was just never quite the same. Gordon Hayward, you know.
Still kind of not the same.
Just never quite the same, you know. And so I'm hoping that – I was telling Joe and during the break, I felt so bad because – you know, pile on the Cowboys, more so because Cowboy fans are irritating. Sorry, guys. But they kind of are. And Dak Prescott, for me, for the past few years, has been like a middle-of-the-road quarterback. Good, but nothing special about him, you know. And then last year, I really thought he took a step forward and became like, okay, this kid is – he's getting it. And then this year, it's like, no, he's got it. Like, he's figured it out, and he's become – a top seven quarterback in the NFL to me. And so it was like, yeah, man, he's finally to the point to where he's figuring out, you know, who he is as a player, and he's not trying to be someone else, and he can just kind of finally be Dak.
He was so exciting to watch.
And then something like this happens, and it was just like I felt so bad for him, for his teammates, for the first time for the Cowboy fans. I felt so bad for, you know, to have this guy who's seemingly a good guy.
Doing the big mental health push and being honest about his own depression that he suffered.
Which is really hard to do. You know, men, and we know, guys, you out there listening, it's hard for us to talk about our feelings and the things that we're going through. The way we deal with it in most cases is we talk to our friends and we have a beer or you'll smoke something or whatever the case is, and that's kind of that. But Dak was really trying to put light on the fact that, man, as men, especially, like, man, we go through stuff and it's hard and something you need people to talk to and figure that out. And he's a champion of mental health, and I applaud that. And so
me too.
It was really, really tough to see this kid, you know, have his leg twisted all up. And, you know, so hopefully he can get back. He's a hard worker, so we're hoping he can get back to where he needs to be, where he wants to be, and he's stronger and everything. But, man, if you're Dallas right now, yeah, I hope you're understanding what you have or what you had, you know, in this quarterback, because didn't give him that contract that he was asking for, you know, probably should have got it, but now he's hurt. So
we played on the franchise tag, which is like, what, $30 million.
So it's not he's not cheap, you know, so it's one of those things. It was really, really sad. And hopefully he makes a full recovery. The Cowboys need him. And Joe is kind of saying, like, man, we don't need to make the playoffs this year, or, you know, we can make the playoffs because the division's crap. And I was like, all you need to do is get there. And Dak is good enough to where if you get there, you have a shot. Like, we've seen wild card teams win the Super Bowl before in the last 20 years. We've seen it happen. So,
wasn't it last year, 2 years ago, where a 7-9 team won the first round? Was that last year?
I don't remember. Was it?
Well, I know the Seahawks did it with the beast mode run way back in the day, but I feel like there was one very recently where it was like, oh, that team won in the first round?
What was Tennessee's record?
Was it the Eagles? Because the Eagles weren't. I mean, the NFC East has been the same for like 5 years. Yeah. Everyone finishes 8-8.
I can't remember. But
this year, they're all going to finish 4-12.
But we've seen it happen. You know, that
4-12 team making
Steelers
the playoffs.
No, that would be crazy, right? But if they make it, hey. But that Steelers team that won the Super Bowl in 2006, the Giants in 2008, you know what I'm saying? Like the Packers in 2011, like it happens, you know? So we'll see. And I'm just hoping for the best for Dak and for, you know, the if you're Mike McCarthy right now, you're just like, no, this is not happening to me. Like,
by the way, Mike McCarthy, not impressed.
Oh,
not impressed.
I'm surprised he hasn't been fired yet.
He just got hired.
All right, what does that mean? Like, we knew Mike McCarthy was bad. Joe, I'm curious, man. How do you feel about that? Because we knew McCarthy wasn't great when he was in Green Bay.
Well, he was good.
Was Aaron Rodgers good?
Well, that's what I'm saying, because he had the benefit of Aaron Rodgers. Play calling wise, we ripped him constantly.
Yes. So why pick? Was that a good get for you guys, Joe?
I mean, I don't know at this point. I mean,
he's so depressed.
Yeah.
I've been there.
I mean, I'm going over their schedule just to kind of like retrace my thoughts of this season. I mean, the first game against the Rams, everybody was killing on them because they're like, oh, same old Mike McCarthy, conservative, a lot of curl routes, outright, like just not going downfield. They ended up having to play a very different game against the Falcons because they got down like 28-6 and had to come back in that game. So it was just pass. Seahawks, Cowboys, it got into a shootout. So kind of same thing there. Got absolutely killed by the Browns. Same thing. Had to come back in that game. Pass.
So the defense has been so bad that the criticism that he's not running the ball with one of the best running backs in the NFL is not because he's not running the ball, but because he can't.
Basically, okay. Yeah. I mean,
because that was my criticism, is that like you have Zeke and you're really not using him very effectively.
It's kind of hard to implement your game plan when your defense is as trash as it is and puts you in a 20-point hole right out the gate. Even against the Giants last weekend, it was like they scored 14 points in the first quarter, which they had, I think, six in the first quarter all season long. So they had to, again, climb out of a hole right away. And before halftime, I think they were leading. But still, it's the first game is what you saw of Mike McCarthy that you've seen all along. Just conservative, and now he's trying to take this quote-unquote analytics approach, which he's never had before, and trying to seem like the old man in the room that gets it now. And, oh, I know how it's going and everything. And it just hasn't been able to play out because they've found themselves in these deep holes right away from the get-go. So we'll see what it's like with Andy Dalton going forward, and it really depends on how this defense plays. I mean, but there's nothing that says it's going to be any more encouraging going forward as far as defensive play goes.
I was
going
to say, I don't know if this makes you feel any better or worse, Joe, but defense across the NFL is terrible this year.
It's true.
The bottom 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 defenses this year have given up 30 or more points per game. Per game. That would be the Saints, the Raiders, the Vikings, the Lions, the Falcons, the Jets, and the Cowboys. The Cowboys, by far the worst defense. They've given up 36 points a game. The Jets are the second worst at 32.2. They've given up 4 more points a game than the Jets. So, defense not great, but defenses are not great across the league.
Yeah,
just a little note. And that's then they got, I thought that was interesting.
That's the you know.
Hey, the Ravens are giving up 15 points a game.
Not though, having so. Any not having any real contact in training camp. That's not having a preseason. You know, guys didn't really get a chance to tackling is something. It's an art. You have to know how to do it.
And they
you have
keep
to be good at it.
Creating rules to make it harder and harder to play defense.
And then what does this defense get? Have fun with Kyler Murray and Larry Fitzgerald and DeAndre Hopkins and good luck.
I did bet the Cardinals -1.5 this week. It's
probably a smart decision.
I think Rob took Dallas +1.5 and I was like, bold.
I mean, the Cardinals have been a weird team because everybody thought they were going to take care of the Panthers last weekend and they didn't. And so they've been very much up and down themselves. But again,
they have one of the best defenses in the NFL, 20 points a game.
Well, there you go. News for me. But it's just, yeah, I'm not encouraged when you got to play a wide receiver core like that. And the Cowboys secondary, I mean, at all levels, they're not bad, but I'd say their secondary is the worst of the three units on defense. So
yes,
have fun. Good luck.
The worst secondary is probably the Falcons.
I'll be rooting for you.
All right. Coming up next, it is time for Hate It or Love It.
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
All right, that music means it is time for Hate It or Love It. Joe will ask us some questions, and then he will award us points or deduct us points based on our answers. And the winner gets to host the last segment, but the last segment's in 2 segments because we got to do Fantasy Scramble first at 9:30. But, you know, we change things up because we got to. What do you got for us today, Joseph?
Okay, so we started the show not only talking about COVID amongst college football, but also the NFL, if they're doing the right thing. They've had to reshuffle games. Tuesday night football, which we saw, which ended up not being that good of a game.
No,
really.
It's terrible.
But who the hell needs to practice anymore, right?
What is practice?
The Titans just...
Practice? We talking about practice?
Proving that, take a few weeks off, do a couple Zoom meetings. We're fine. We're good.
Hey, what did they put up, like 45 points and a good defense?
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I ended up taking a nap halfway through that game. Solid nap.
I was at work. I couldn't take a nap. Sorry.
So, with the games being reshuffled, I think last weekend they said they had to reschedule like 8 games. It was 6 or 8, something. I can't remember. Hate it or love it, there will be a week 18.
Oh, man.
Ooh. Well, I'm going to say love. I think there's going to have to be. I mean, I said it a couple of segments ago. I think the NFL's starting to figure it out, but there's going to be enough COVID that it's going to force the league to continue to change their schedule. And I know they don't want to. I know they want to keep the playoffs where they are. I know they want to keep everything as is and all scheduled. But one thing I learned this week that I didn't know is that the NFL actually holds on to their venue for the Super Bowl for the entire month. So every week of the month of February, they have that venue just in case. So they can move the playoffs back a week. They can get rid of the Pro Bowl. Well, they already got rid of the Pro Bowl. So there's already that dead week in the middle. They could move some weeks back here and there to allow for a week 18 or an added week at the end of the season to finish some games. I think it's too tough with the contact sport, with all of it, to assume that through week 17, all the teams will have played all their games and everything's going to be fine. I think that's too challenging to say yes for sure that's going to happen. So yeah, bye. There'll be a week 18, and there'll be like 3 or 4 games that have to be played on that last week.
Yeah, I love it. Unfortunately, like, COVID is still very unpredictable. We don't know exactly what's happening. We've seen teams just say a few guys aren't coming. We've seen teams shut down the entire facility for their players and for their team. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen. What we do know is there more than likely is going to be more games canceled, and there's going to be more games that are going to be postponed. That's almost a certain, you know, I can almost guarantee that that's going to happen. So because that's going to happen, obviously it's going to mean putting some games off and making sure you can fit those games in there. So you might see a week 18, week 19. You know, there's a very good chance that they, you know, the Patriots haven't played in, I want to say, what, 2 weeks? I want to say something like that. So, not Patriots. Who was it we talked about a little earlier? A team hadn't played in like 2 weeks.
The Titans.
Thank you.
The Broncos are coming off 16 days.
Yeah. So that's, you have to put those games somewhere. And moving to Tuesday sounds like a good night, but you're also talking about moving programming from those days. And we don't know exactly what that programming might be. So I think it's going to be an issue. And I think it's an issue with the NFL. I didn't know anything that thing about the Super Bowl and having that venue for the next month, because that definitely helps out as far as trying to push your playoffs or push the playoffs back just a couple weeks if you need to.
All right.
But if you're not going to make the playoffs, I think, you know, just call it a season. You know, seriously, if you're any team in the NFC East, just call it a season at week 15. Like, oh, we're good.
Just pull an NBA bubble. Yeah. Teams,
we're
going to
opt out
play
for the next 2 weeks. It's all good. We'll take these L's.
You terrible teams, you're done. Your season's over. Speaking of seasons being over, we talked about Dak Prescott last segment. And with that, we obviously have to try and figure out what the hell that all means for the Cowboys and contracts and everything with him going forward. And there is a report that Jerry Jones is considering giving him the franchise tag for next year as well. So, hate it or love it, Dak will get a franchise tag for the second year in a row.
Love it. Unfortunately, like, you don't know what you're going to get from Dak Prescott. So you can't really give him a max deal as he gets back, because there is a chance. I'm not going to say it's a good chance, but there's a chance that you don't get the same quarterback back that you had before. Man, you had somebody that was mobile when he needed to be, and you had somebody that was starting to really become an accurate passer, and now all of a sudden he's not there. Like, what does that do to somebody's psyche when they come back? We had a texter text in a bunch of names of some of the guys that were able to come back, you know, as good or better than they were before, but that list is always really short.
Also, some names on there that weren't too encouraging.
Like Sam Bowie, like, okay, some of those names were great, but like Sam Bowie isn't one of those names that you should ever point to as far as an injury and somebody coming back and being better than they were before. But so you just have to do a good job of looking at the free agent list for next year. And honestly, the free agent list isn't great. You know who the best free agent is for the year 2021 for as a quarterback? It's Dak Prescott. And so if you don't give him, then what is your option? Go ask Cincinnati how well Andy Dalton worked out for them.
I'm going to say love, too, and it's because I think Dak's willing to accept it, because it's going to be, what, $37 million for 1 year? Because it's going to go up from this year. There's a pretty steep price to pay for franchise tagging someone 2 years in a row. And I agree with Rashad's point. That was a good point. How do you know how Dak Prescott is going to come back from his injury? You don't. You think he'll be fine. I mean, at this point in our lives of sports, a lot of people come back from these injuries and worse, and they're the same or better even sometimes. So we don't know, but there's a risk involved. So do you tie your franchise to a guy on a long-term deal for the NFL and he comes back and he's just not the same? He doesn't have the same speed. He can't get around the pocket as well. He doesn't trust his legs, so he doesn't, you know, step into the pocket or risk making any sort of risky plays. That's tough. So, yes, the Cowboys will pay a lot of money for him on a one-year deal for the franchise tag, but I think that's the only smart move to be sure that you know that Dak Prescott is healthy enough to take the long-term deal and be your franchise quarterback of the future. I did hear something interesting, too, today. I was watching a little NFL game day morning when I woke up this morning, and Michael Irvin made an interesting point. He said, Cowboys are 2-3. Andy Dalton's their quarterback. What if they just aren't very good without Dak Prescott and they find themselves in a position where maybe a Trevor Lawrence
is going to be there? Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of teams in the NFL who are worse than the Cowboys. So the chances of that are slim. I'm looking at the Jets and the Giants, pretty notably. Lions don't look very good either. do you draft a Lawrence and just let Dak go? You know, I think that's another option that you could do depending on how the season goes, but seems unlikely. It's just a thought. He'll take the franchise tag.
I almost want to give you a point for bringing that up, but I also want to deduct it for getting my hopes up like that. Because just don't do that to me. Don't play with me.
Be one of those guys.
Hey, you got the worst defense in the NFL, and Andy Dalton's your quarterback, so you never know.
So draft a quarterback.
There's three of it'll be three of them next. I mean, Trevor Lawrence and the kid
Justin
from Ohio
Fields.
State and Lance or Trey Lance. Like, yep. There's going to be three of them at the top of the board.
I like how you know the North Dakota State kid's name, but not the kid from Ohio State.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Justin Fields. Yeah. You just said the kid from Ohio State and Trey Lance, and I'm like,
Trey Lance is a cool name.
Yeah, well, he's pretty fun to watch, apparently,
too.
Yeah,
it's a cool name.
Not that I've watched, but from what I've read.
Speaking of someone that's been cool to watch, former Oregon Duck quarterback Justin Herbert.
He's been
looking fantastic.
Yeah, he has.
Not exactly in the win column, which is unfortunate. And by the way, I got way too excited for what I thought was the game-winning field goal against the Chargers and did not notice that it went off the upright. Literally yelling in my home out of excitement for Herbert finally getting the win. And
I know, because when it hit the upright, it looked like it was going in.
Yeah.
And it just fell forward. Yeah. It was a trick of the camera lens.
Yeah. Like I said, got way overexcited for that. So it's unfortunate to see him lose again. But, man, he is the real deal, looking really good to start off his NFL career. It's hard to see him regress to a point of being terrible and not being a future maybe Pro Bowler starter for years to come for the Chargers. So let's think about this year alone. Hate it or love it, Justin Herbert will be your Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Oh, I mean, he's just won Rookie of the Week back-to-back weeks, so love. Herbert's looked great. Look, I know it's been 4 weeks. I'll eat crow early on. I didn't think Herbert was going to be a great NFL pro. Watching him in college, he didn't handle pressure well. He didn't go through his reads well. And sometimes that translates into them being better in the NFL for some reason. And maybe you can now point the finger to Marcus Arroyo being a terrible offensive coordinator more than Justin Herbert having struggles at the college level. I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. Watching Justin Herbert the last couple of weeks, he's looked better than almost any game I remember watching him at Oregon. He's looked incredible. He's seeing the pressure. He's rolling out of the pocket. He's using his legs. He's got we knew he had a great arm, but he's been very accurate. He's been making the right reads most of the time. He has had a couple of picks that have been rookie kind of picks, but you kind of expect that. I mean, that play in the beginning of last week's game against New Orleans, where he had three guys unblocked into his face, and he rolled to the right. He's fast enough to get away from all of them, and he threw a dime to Keenan Allen in the end zone. I was like, oh my God, Justin Herbert has arrived. Like, he's been playing well, but that kind of play was so, so impressive to me based on how we watched him struggle with the pressure in Oregon and struggle with making the right read sometimes. So, love. I mean, Rookie of the Year, let's go.
You know, Joe, I'm not the kind of guy that likes to say I told you so, but
Told you so. Yes, you are.
When Lynch for years sat over there and hated on Justin Herbert for not being able to read a defense and not being able to put the ball in the right spots and not being able to see the pressure. What did I was saying the whole time, Matt?
Look at the stats. Look at the stats.
Look at the stats. And also, Matt, he doesn't have the guys around him that he's supposed to have. Like, all this past year when he was his last year at U of O, man, all his receivers were hurt. Everybody that he was supposed to throw the ball to, all of his impact players, didn't have a run game. When was the last time you saw a University of Oregon without a run game? He was pretty much their entire offense. And I said, once he goes to the NFL and he plays with better athletes, he's going to be a better player. And what do you know? First game kind of struggled. Second game struggled. Third game, okay. Much better. Three touchdowns and a pick. Last game, he was damn near perfect. Four touchdowns, no pick. That wasn't his fault, the reason that team lost that game against New Orleans. They should have won that game. I'm looking at a guy who's going to be...
They've been close in every one.
Every one of these games, and they just haven't been able to pull it out. They're doing the Charger thing to do, which is like be super close and almost win the game.
Lost by three in overtime to the Chiefs. Lost by five to the Panthers, lost by seven to the Bucks, and lost by three in overtime to the Saints.
You know what I'm saying? So he lost to Mahomes, he lost to Brady, he lost to Brees. You have to put that in there, too. He didn't
lose.
And Teddy Bridgewater. And Teddy Bridgewater. But, you know, he lost to three people that are for sure going to be Hall of Fame, fame players. So I'm looking at this guy saying, why can't he be the next great thing over the next 10 years or so? I'm looking at this young group of quarterbacks, and if Justin Herbert plays anything like this moving forward for the rest of his career, he's going to be one of the best of all of them. Absolutely. I love it.
All right, I'm going to scrap the last question so that we have plenty of time to get to the fantasy scramble. And with that being said, your winner is Rashad.
I don't know, man. Some of us just walk in the light, man. I just happen to be one of those guys.
Be careful. All the deck points. Don't go. Don't go.
See, you can't do that, Joe. You can't. That's doing what you said your son was doing when you guys hoop. You know what I'm saying? You know, give me a technical for what?
Rashad, he is the master of the game. He can do whatever he wants.
Oh, I suppose.
If he wanted to deduct points and make me the winner, he could.
He could.
He could. It is his right.
But Joe's the homie. He wouldn't do that to me.
As you just said, you're like your son calling you a cheater when you're hitting a three-point shot. Mm-hmm. He's my homie, though.
Yeah, that's the homie.
All right.
But in your face.
Get your fantasy questions in, 503-250-1080. We'll call our friend Jesse Osman, and we'll help you out with those coming up next. But first, Joe has sports.
This is what you get when you wait until the last minute.
It's your pick. Fine, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. This guy.
A kicker.
I like kickers.
Listen up, you fantasy coaches. Mike and Rashad are here to save your butt with some last-minute injury news and roster advice.
The only reason my team finished as terrible as it is because everybody on the team was hurt. Literally every single player on my team was hurt.
This is Fantasy Scramble, part of Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is time for the Fantasy Scramble.
It's been a long time since my team was that bad.
Well, you don't even have a team right now, Rashad.
I don't, you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, like, I've been winning some leagues and at least finishing at the top of the league. Like, I deserve a better.
You don't even have a team. Look, that is funny. The fact that you hate it so much,
yes.
It means I'm never going to change it. You have to understand that. The fact that you react every single time to it, why would I ever change it?
Well, it's unfair.
It's
and,
funny.
And it's rude.
It's not so rude. It's funny.
It's rude. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, just keep poking fun at my failure. Like, that's not fun. Some well, friends
it's
you guys
a, it's
are.
It's a funny clip. That's what friends do, okay?
All right.
Jesse Osman is joining us now. Jesse, you're echoing a little bit. There we go. We have Jesse as our fantasy expert here, and we will answer as many of your questions as possible on the Fantex
on the 503-250-1080.
First question, half point PPR, pick three. Edwards-Helaire, Juju Smith-Schuster, Ronald Jones, or Kareem Hunt. I'm going all running backs on this one. Juju has been a little bit inconsistent, and Le'Veon Bell is actually inactive today. So Edwards-Helaire, for now, still the lead back in Kansas City. And I like Ronald Jones and Kareem Hunt as well. So I'm taking all three running backs for you in that question.
Yeah, I'm probably taking the running backs as well. Juju, you know, is Juju Smith-Schuster. But, you know, again, you're talking PPR. I'm definitely going to take running backs first.
Yeah, this has got to be a running back sweep right here when you're looking at the amount of touches that all three of them are getting. The Hunt right now, obviously, the number one back. He is a just top five back every week until Chubb comes back. Edwards-Helaire still probably going to be your number one guy. You know, I think you're going to find that Bell's going to come in and be more the passing downs back. Like, he's still going to be really useful going forward. And Ronald Jones, this might be the last really, really good spot that you get to play him this year. And Fournette is coming back. They're going to work him back into that offense, but he'll still probably be that bell cow on first and second down.
Half point PPR tight end, Tyler Higbee or TJ Hockenson. I'm going to go with Hockenson on this one. So Higbee, I still feel like he has a lot of potential this year, so maybe don't drop him. But they started using Gerald Everett a little bit more last week, and his targets have gone down the last couple of weeks, whereas Hockenson's targets have been much better, even if his actual performances have been a little bit inconsistent. So go with the guy who's seen the ball more. I'm going to go with TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, I'm probably going TJ Hockenson as well. He played well last week. He only had two receptions for 9 yards, but one of them happened to go for a touchdown. So if you're looking for points, probably go Hockenson.
This is one of those one things. I probably would go Hockenson 90% of the time. If I'm looking at a matchup where I just feel like I'm looking at an uphill battle, I would throw Higbee in there because I think he is the guy that can get you a 3-touchdown game. It's just probably unlikely. This is looking a lot like last year where Gerald Everett was very good for a couple weeks last year. And then Gerald Everett went out. That's when Tyler Higbee was really good. So you're starting to see what happens when these guys are in this on the field together. It's a timeshare, and there's a really high ceiling and there's a really low floor. So if you need that high ceiling from your tight end, then go Higbee. But otherwise, I would go Hockenson.
A half point PPR, Philip Lindsay or J.D. McKissick? Well, Melvin Gordon, I don't think is playing today. I think he's about to get a 3-game suspension for the DUI. So I would pick Philip Lindsay in that one just because he's going to get the most carries.
Yeah, Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon at home didn't make the flight to New England. He is actually dealing with strep throat. So he wasn't even
and a DUI.
With the team. Yeah, so that just a bad week for Melvin Gordon. He does have a 3-game suspension coming at some point. And they don't have to wait for things to go through the legal system the way they used to because of how they restructured the collective bargaining agreement. So he might be gone. I like Philip Lindsay in this spot. I think they're really going to try to get that running game going so they can get locked in today because he is also starting. So this offense is going to be about as good as it's been since week one. So no fan, but they are going to start his old college mate, Albert Okwuegbunam, on today. So they are still going to have a really athletic tight end down in the end zone area. So I really like Lindsay. I think they're going to feed him today.
Julian Edelman or DJ Chark, again, half point PPR for this one. This one's tough. So Chark is the better like touchdown threat, but Edelman's getting a lot of targets from Cam Newton. Now, the last 2 weeks, he did not play well, but Cam Newton wasn't the quarterback the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to go with Edelman in this one over Chark. Chark is active with an ankle injury, but Minshew's been sharing the ball with all his receivers. It's been Chark has had a couple of good games, but it's been kind of inconsistent goings there for those receivers. So I'm going to go with Julian Edelman here, who's been still averaging like 7-8 targets a game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the better quarterback there, and that happens to be Cam Newton. So he actually loves Julian Edelman because Edelman is always in the right place. And if you're a quarterback, especially for slot receivers, man, you want to make sure that, man, I know I can put the ball here, and he's going to be right there to catch it. Julian Edelman is almost Cam Newton's safety blanket. And so he's almost kind of playing, it's weird, playing the Gronkowski role as far as somebody that's going to be open over the middle 4 to 7 yards just to catch those balls. And so I'm going Julian Edelman.
I'm thinking you're looking at a Broncos defense that's getting AJ Bouye back. He hasn't been there since week one. He was looking good until he went down. The secondary should be much improved since what we've seen weeks two through four, basically. So I kind of honestly want to stay away from Edelman. I think there's more upside with a guy like Chark. In PPR, obviously, there's a safer floor with Edelman, so you can take that with what you will. But I personally would roll Chark out there. I have a really good feeling about this week, but at the same time, that's a feeling, and you're also a little risky with a guy. He was limited all week. He was basically a game time decision. It came down to, I believe, late last night, early this morning, that they said that he was going to play. So there is obviously risk there. So if you want the safer play, go Edelman. But I think the higher floor is with Chark.
Half point PPR pick to Jonathan Taylor, Cooper Kupp, or Chase Claypool. So Taylor's now the starter in Indy. He's been getting about 15, 16 carries a game. He's not catching the ball a lot, so that will hurt you in PPR leagues. For me here, I'm going Kupp, and I'm going with the hot hand in Claypool. Claypool was insane last week.
Absolutely.
I know that there's a lot of, not a lot of options, but I know Big Ben likes to share the ball around in that offense, but I'm going with the hot hand in this one and going Kupp and Claypool.
Kupp and Claypool.
You know, I very much like Claypool this week. I was waiting to see what happened to Deontay Johnson after that exiting with that back injury. He is not playing this week, and that is what allowed Claypool to do what he did last week, because until last week, he's been an ancillary piece that they've been getting involved, but it's been in between 4 to 6 touches a game. Last week, I believe he had 11 targets, and then he also had 2 to 3 carries on the ground. So they got him heavily involved. Those are basically running back type numbers there, which allowed him to do what he did. I'm excited for him this week. No Deontay Johnson, locking him in. And then it was the
Cooper Kupp or Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor, man, I traded for this guy this week. I'm excited for him. I do think he's going to have a big week. I think he has the safer floor, and I think he has great upside. I think I'd roll him out.
All right, need 3 receivers, non-PPR. Who do I start? Here's the list: Beckham, Cooper Kupp, Hollywood Brown, AJ Brown, or DJ Moore? Pick three. I'm going to go with Odell Beckham Jr. I have a gut feeling about him this week, having a good week again. He's been a little inconsistent this year. And I know Baker's banged up, but I just got a gut feeling against the Steelers. He'll have a good game. I'm going to go with Kupp, and I'm going to go with AJ Brown, who first week back from injury was the favorite target of Ryan Tannehill, who's looking very good. Hollywood Brown is a little bit too inconsistent for me in that Baltimore offense, which spreads the ball around really well. And DJ Moore, I don't know. Out of these guys, he's my least favorite. So I'm going to go OBJ, Kupp, and Brown.
I'm also going to go Kupp, Odell, and AJ Brown. I really like what Stefanski's kind of let Odell Beckham do. Looks like he's kind of looking more and more like himself, or like the Odell Beckham Jr. that we're used to. So yeah, those are three I'm going to roll with.
I'm actually going to go Kupp and both the Browns. Obviously, we know why we're doing AJ. That guy is a superstar in the making. It's incredible what he's been able to do so far early in his career. Kupp is basically that red zone safety valve for Goff. And I think he has a solid chance of getting in that end zone today. And then I'm honestly, Marquise Brown, I understand the frustration with him. He is on track for over 1,000 yards this season, only three touchdowns. But if you watch closely, Lamar Jackson has missed him basically on a deep touchdown every single game. It's bound to start connecting. And I mean, every game he has missed him on a wide open pass with a straight shot. No defenders.
Come on, Lamar. all right. Let's get a couple of rapid fire ones here, Jesse. So a little bit quicker answers, cause we were running out of time. DJ Chark or Julio Jones. I'm going to go, if Julio's healthy and playing, I'm going with Julio. It's that simple.
If Julio's healthy, you play him.
Jesse there. Oh, we dropped him. We lost Jesse. Okay.
Now you just have to listen to us.
Well, no. You don't need to call him back, Joe. We got a break anyway. We'll answer a couple of these questions back through the text line. There's a couple more that came in. So we'll get to those in the break, but we do have to go because we're already 4 minutes over. And Rashad gets to host the last segment because he won Hit It or Love It.
Oh, that's tight.
So thank you to Jesse, and we will talk to him next week. And we'll be back here on Football Sunday on The Fan.
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
9:50, Sunday. What's today's date? The 18th? There it is. Uh-huh. And...
glorious!
Sounds good, doesn't
no,
it?
I won't give in, I won't give in till I'm victorious.
I don't know. I just get a good feeling that comes over me when I hear this song. Man, it's inspirational.
Fantasy Scramble threw me off forgetting this song here.
It happens, bro. Don't worry about it, man. But somebody who's listening to the song.
I screw my mic on because I'm a professional.
Oh, man. It happens. I do that all the time. Literally once a show, I forget that my microphone isn't on.
At least you got to hear the song.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's forgotten.
It's
lost
an awesome
forever.
Song. Yes. It's an awesome song. I think the Rays were kind of singing this last night. You know, there.
I'm sure after blowing that.
Are you going to talk some baseball, Rashad?
Well, I mean, why not? It's the only thing that's kind of, you know. And they did take down the evil empire of the year and the Astros just of the year.
They also took out the evil empire because they beat the Yankees.
Yes, you know, but, you know, the Astros is the, if you can believe it, the Astros have been the most hated team in baseball this year. I think even more than the Yankees.
Rightfully so, because they're cheating bastards. Yes, let's go.
I'll be honest. How funny would it have been? And I'm not a baseball fan, so it would have been funny for me.
Funny?
But if Houston actually won,
no.
That would have been hilarious.
No.
You don't think that would have
been
a little ha-ha?
I don't want the Astros in the World Series. I don't want them to get the benefit of this weird season and making it to the World Series when they didn't finish over 500 and they're cheating?
No, yeah.
A-holes?
Yeah, I mean, everybody cheats, though.
It made me happy that Jose Altuve, the no longer lovable baseball elf, the hateable baseball elf, had the yips in the postseason,
yeah,
in the series. And he had another play in Game 7 where he bobbled the ball and allowed base runners, and it just made me happy.
I got a little nervous because Wednesday night when we were doing the show, I think the Rays were up 3-0 at that point. And then I even floated out the idea. I'm like, God, how terrible would it be if the Astros came back and won this series? And so I was getting all of a sudden I was getting a little nervous there. I was like, oh my God, please don't happen. So
could you imagine the MLB? Like, they must have been shaken because they were like, oh God, we can't have the Astros in the World Series. We didn't punish them nearly enough. No, you didn't.
You know, because there's
no
way you cannot talk about the cheating scandals. Like, you have to mention it. Like, even as we move forward, you know, with the Astros, we're always going to mention them cheating to win the World Series.
They will forever be known as the trash can Stros.
I mean, for God's sakes, we still talk about that White Sox team, and that was 100 years ago.
Yes. Yes. So the Black Sox, you mean?
Yes, exactly.
But either way, the Rays win. You know, Tampa Bay wins 4-2 over the Astros, man.
And look, I hate the Rays, and I will root for either the Dodgers or the Braves. Game 7 today, by the way, in that series. 2 Game 7s in the LCSs. How about that?
Yeah.
I think they said the first time that's happened since 2004, where both championship series go to 7 games.
What was 2004? Who was the World Series in 2004?
Mike might remember just from his facial expressions.
Never mind.
Was that the Angels winning that series? I'm dead serious. I'm not trying to, like, poke the bear here.
2004 was Red Sox coming back from down 3-0.
Oh, that's right. Damn.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. Right.
They made a movie
about that. Nothing happened that year. What?
I think the Angels were, like, 2003 or something like that.
2003 was Yankees-Marlins.
Jimmy Fallon made a whole movie about
2005 that. 2005 was Angels, I believe. Maybe that was the White Sox.
Years, teams, all mixed up.
Was 02? Yeah, 02 is Angels. 02 is Giants Angels.
There you go.
I think. God, Patrick's way better at this than me in terms of remembering all the World Series by the years. 03 is Yankees Marlins. 04 was Red Sox. Who did they play? Because they won first time since 1918.
Cardinals?
Might have been the Cardinals. And then I think 05 was White Sox winning it that year, I believe. Maybe it was 06. I'm in the ballpark here.
I can't
here.
Remember. Yeah.
I'm in the ballpark.
Ish. So how does Dusty feel about his Astros?
I'm sure he's being cocky about it. Officer Potter, one of our P1s of the station, is a big Astros fan. And every time they won, he would send me a GIF of the Astros. And I was like, dude.
I think Dusty.
You guys cheated. Like, you can't. I mean, okay, you're winning. Cool. Congrats.
So I worked with Dusty on Friday. He very much takes the angle that he's not gloating. He's not, you know, cocky and anything. It's just more so that they like.
Is he smug about it?
It's just one of those. He takes the approach like, yes, it happened, but it can't take away the memories from the last 20 something years that I've been rooting for them. And they're like my family. They're, you
People
know,
accuse
I've
my
been
team of cheating all the time.
Supporting them for so long. And
your
just
team
can't.
Has been proven as a cheater.
I don't think it has. Where? We can explain everything that's happened. We can explain it. Yeah. It's not a problem.
It's those video cameras that were recording practices of another team. And
well, they were we
deflating
were
football.
Were we recording and, like the Cardinals or the Titans or somebody terrible at that point? Like, you know,
well, it doesn't matter. You were
it's
recording
okay.
the other team.
Like, yeah.
You're recording the Jets, first of all.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. It's even worse. Like, what do we really need to watch the Jets film?
Apparently,
at practice. No.
Come on, Bill.
No, we don't need to do that to beat you guys.
All right, that's gonna do it for us today. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week, 9 to 11. We're back at a normal time next 2 weeks. And then we have a show off, I think, 3 weeks from now. So 9 to 11 next week, 9 to 11 in 2 weeks. We'll still do Fantasy Scramble at the same time at 9:30, leading you into your fantasy football week. Good luck in that this week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we will see you Sunday, 9 o'clock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.